The Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning at the 12th verse, page 113. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to you indeed, O Lord, that at the center of your life and nature towards us, there is that eternal, perfect, imperishable love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that all your dealings with us are motivated and filled and aimed at expressing the love that you have for us. Graciously help us as we consider your holy word and think about it. Graciously help us, O Lord, to know and to feel the love that you have for us. Lord Jesus, we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. I want to read those words to you again from John 15, beginning at verse 12. What Jesus did, what Jesus expected, and what Jesus promised. What he said, what he did, what he expected, and what he promised. What Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. What Jesus said and what he did. I loved you, you are my friends. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. What he said and what he did. What he expected. You are my friends if you do what I command you. What he promised. I call you friends because I have made known to you all that I heard from the Father. What he said, I love you. What he did, he laid down his life for us. What he expects, that we will keep his commandments, what he promised to make known to us, all he has heard from the Father. Jesus used the two main New Testament words for loving. When he said, "I have loved you, you are my friends." Two different words, two main words. They come in that passage at the end of John's Gospel, where Peter suddenly turns to Jesus at the lakeside and said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" That's the big one. Love like Jesus has for us. Real love, true love, perfect love, love to the uttermost. That's the big one. And when Peter replied to that question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He used the little word, the lesser word. "Lord, you know I love you as best I can." At least that's how I best express them to you. It's the best I've ever managed. "Peter, do you love me as I love you?" "Lord, I love you as best I can." There's the big word and the lesser word. There's the big word, Jesus being realistic. "Peter, I love you as only I can." That's the big one. There's the lesser word, "Lord, I love you as best I can." And those two words come in our passage today. Jesus looks at his disciples and said, "I've loved you." That's the big one. "I have loved you as only I can." And then he turns to them and says, "I call you friends," and that's the lesser word. But not when it's used in the mouth of Jesus. If we say to him, "Lord, I love you as best I can," we're acknowledging all the weaknesses that come over us, all the times when we fail to love him, and all the time when our love falls short of the best. We're acknowledging weakness if we say, "I love you as best I can." But if he says to us, "I love you as best I can," that's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? Imagine being loved as best he can. Imagine being loved with the perfect love that only Jesus can manage. Imagine being loved up to the best that Jesus can offer. And amazingly, it's true of us. Amazingly, that's what he says. We're not talking about how we feel. We're talking about how he feels. We're not talking about the extent to which we can say, "Golly, is that true?" We're talking about the extent to which he knows it's true. And using these two words, the big word and the lesser word, in Jesus' mouth, they're both equally great. Using the big word, he says, "Look, I love you as only I can. And using the lesser word, he says, "I love you as best I can." So we have the unique love of Jesus, and we have the uttermost love of Jesus. And he affirms from his point of view, speaking from his heart, he affirms that this is what he feels when he looks on us. "I love you as only I can love."
I love you to the best that I can manage. Let us register. And Jesus expressed that love by laying down his life for his friends. Loving you as best I can. There is no greater love than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. So we're brought to the foot of the cross. That's where he expressed his love. Now, of course, the cross itself as such expresses nothing. If you were a passerby at the time of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, and you happened to look up and you saw three crosses on the hill, there's nothing about them to tell you that the center cross is different from the others. And there's nothing about that center cross to tell you that it's an expression of love. If love is to be seen as love, it must be seen as doing something. Not just a display, but an effective action. A great Victorian minister in Birmingham, he was a Congregationalist named R.W. Dale, and he wrote a very great book about the cross of the Lord Jesus. And it will come as no surprise to you that books by Victorian authors don't contain many jokes. But the first edition of Dr. Dale's book on the cross received so many criticisms that he wrote an amazingly great preface for further editions. And in the preface, he says, think of it this way. Suppose I were to say to Mrs. Dale, my darling, I love you so much, I'm going to go down to the station and throw myself under a train. She would say, I'd far rather you stayed at home and did the washing up. You see, love, if it is to be seen as love, must set out to do something and achieve it. Demonstrations are not love. Effective actions show love. So it's not the fact that Jesus went to the cross that proves his love. It's the fact that he went to the cross bearing our sins. In order to do something for us, in order to cleanse us, in order to clear our debt with God, and all the other ways in which the New Testament expresses the love of Jesus. Paul says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself up for me. And Peter says, he died the righteous on behalf of the unrighteous that he might bring us to God. There was an effectiveness that drove him on to clear us of our sins, to pay our debt, to make things right with God. Paul says, we have peace with God through the blood of his cross. It is the motivation of the cross and the effectiveness of the cross that demonstrates the love of Christ. Motivation. He loved us and gave himself for us. Effectiveness. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. I've been away at Stephen's College in London for the last couple of days, totally violating my principles by doing 2 days of work. And on Tuesday morning, we had the weekly college service of worship. And amongst other things, we sang that marvelous hymn, When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, even so, it is well with my soul. My sin. Oh, the bliss of that glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's love. That's Jesus' love. That's the love he showed when he loved us as best he alone can and laid down his life for his friends. Was it the nails, O Saviour, that bound thee to the tree? Nay, 'twas thine everlasting love, thy love for me. Give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love for me. The love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. What he expected. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. What does that mean for you and me? Does it mean listening inwardly for a voice to speak to us? Well, you'd be very lucky if that happened to you. It happened to me once. I was in my room in Bournemouth. And I must have been particularly exercised by some person who was in trouble. And I can't remember the person's name now or the trouble that he or she was in. But I was obviously praying about it. And indeed, since I was alone in my room and in the house in the middle of the afternoon, I was probably praying out loud. And I remember ending my prayer by saying, Well, there it is, Lord, I said. There's nothing I can do about it. I've got to leave it to you. And the Lord said to me, no one better. And I do cherish that voice that seemed to come to me. No one better. No, but we don't sit and listen to an inward voice. If we do that, why, 99 times out of 100, we're only listening to ourselves. The Lord doesn't commit us to anything as uncertain as that. For you and I to obey his commands, we take up our Bibles. Day by day, morning by morning. And his commands come in different forms And I remember that old drill that we were taught in the former days of the Scripture Union, when we had little cards with the daily portion printed on them, and on the back of the card it said, "Is there a sin to abandon, a promise to believe, a command to obey, an example to follow?" Do you see? We sit before his word and say, "Lord, is there something that I can do today? Is there some way in which you want me to respond? What's here in your word? A sin to avoid, a command to obey, a promise to believe, an example to follow?" In all sorts of ways, as we sit with his word day by day, why, we have his assurance that he will teach us and educate us and lead us on, because what he promises is, "All that I have learnt from the Father, I will make known to you." And we can open our Bibles, dear ones, with such confidence. This is what Jesus wants us to do. He, the Lord of love, this is how he wants us to respond. I often think of the incident in the Old Testament, I think it's in 2 Kings chapter 5, where the Syrian commander-in-chief of the army, who had leprosy, came to Israel to consult the prophet Elisha. And somebody told Elisha that Naaman, this great man, had come and was waiting outside, sitting in his chariot. And Elisha said, "Oh yes," said, "go and tell him to dip himself in the Jordan 7 times and he'll be all right." But of course that was far from what Naaman was expecting. Naaman said, I surely thought that he would come out to see me himself. I surely thought that he would lay his hands on the leprosy and cleanse it." Naaman wanted a fuss. He wanted a service. He wanted a laying on of hands. And he went away in a huff. Elisha hadn't bothered to come out. He just said, "Go and dip yourself in the Jordan." And Naaman said to his servants, "Why, there are rivers in plenty in Damascus, Abana and Pharpar. I could have dipped myself in them without all the bother of coming here." He went away in a rage. And his servants, who were calmer in spirit, obviously, and wiser than he was, came and said to him, "Sir," well, actually they said, "My father," he must have been a nice man, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, you would have done it, wouldn't you? How much more when he tells you simply to dip yourself in the Jordan?" And so often we're too enlarged in our ideas. We impose burdens on ourselves that we can't bear. Dear ones, the precious Lord of love himself, Jesus, who says, "I love you as only I can, and I love you as best I can." Jesus, who went to the cross bearing our sins, he says to us, "Why don't you open your Bible in the morning? I'll tell you all that I learned from the Father. I'll give you guidance for the day. I'll show you what to do." I read on in the passage to verse 16, and I want to leave you with three words. Three words that Jesus said. "You did not choose me, I chose you." You and I don't feel special, do we? We feel next door to nothing. We are special. were eternally special, were special to him. I chose you.